Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have Danielle Chapazian on the show. Danielle is a registered nurse and writer who lives in Fresno. Her essays have appeared in the Fresno Bee and the Los Angeles Times, and she is the founder and director of the San Joaquin Valley Book Fest, the focus of our conversation today. Two of my favorite events in Fresno take place on back-to-back weekends, Porch Fest and Book Fest. Both of them celebrate people, writers, artists, musicians in our community by giving us intimate opportunities to experience their art. And I think it's amazing that Fresno has fostered these two awesome activities for people. Danielle and I dig into book culture, both in Fresno and more broadly, the connections between different kinds of writers, and how to foster a literate book culture in a city like Fresno. I know you'll love this conversation. Let's go meet Danielle, and Baker will take us there.
To infiltrate the pod waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best! Fresno's best!
So, Danielle, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
I like to eat at lots of mom and pop ethnic places, but probably my favorite go-to is Uncle Harry's Bagels.
Really?
Twice a week, yes.
What do you like about Uncle Harry's Bagels?
I love the bagels. They're delicious. And I just like to hang out and be around the people there while I'm eating my bagels.
Do you like toppings like lox or anything
butter,
like that? Or
butter, just plain butter.
Oh, just butter. Okay. Plain bagel as well?
No, sesame. I have the whole routine. You don't need to hear all the, or your listeners don't need to hear it all. But yeah, sesame I like a lot.
Okay. Where, if you're going to, it's Friday night and you want to go to dinner somewhere, where are you going?
It could be a small ethnic place, Japanese food. I say ethnic. I love Japanese food, Italian. Di Chico's is a mainstay in Fresno. Rosalinda's Mexican food, not far from where I live. All those places are really good.
Fantastic. We're going to talk about books now, which is my favorite subject. What do you think the difference is between reading books versus reading other things?
That's a very good question. I think for me, reading books is a way to escape a little bit and to go on an escape can sound negative. So for me, it's a way to go on a little trip or a journey outside yourself, depending on what you're reading. Of course, you can read for intellectual knowledge acquisition and those kind of things, but reading for fun is just to me a way to go on an adventure without having to really move your feet.
Yeah. Why do you think we're reading less as a society?
I was thinking about that question before we sat down this morning, and there's a lot of things. I think California, for one thing, we have less readers here. This is just, I have no this is not an evidence-based response, but we have an outdoor culture. Our weather is good. To sit with a book may be less likely than in places where it is cold weather. Like I've been to book festivals back east, and the smallest of towns can have a book festival that has 10,000 people show up. So I think that's part of it. I think our phones are doing something to us too, although that can be a cop-out excuse. Sometimes I felt like I read a little bit more on my phone in terms of keeping abreast of things when I was more active on Twitter, which is now X, and I'm not as active anymore. But it was a good place to collate smaller things to read, articles and magazines, and it just put it in my hand and I'd read that way. But reading books, that's a tricky question. And I'm hoping that some of the work I'm doing in our community will help people gravitate to books a little bit more.
Do you think there's any downsides with, and I see this anecdotally, but also in the data, with the move to a lot of people just primarily reading books in audio form, like audiobooks? Do you think there's any downside to that, or is that just a different medium for the same activity?
That's a good question too. I am not an audiobook person, but I know a lot of people that are. For me, I don't acquire information from books as well that way, or maybe I don't think I do because I listen to podcasts. As a kid, I listened to talk radio. So it's not that I can't learn by auditory mechanisms, but I think it's fine if people want to get a book that way. I'm not sure how precise their listening is, and I'm a precise reader, so it takes me a while to get through a book because I like to read every word and every sentence. And some people don't read that way. So I think whatever works for a person is what works for them, and more power to them if they're going to try to get their information in whatever means helps them acquire it.
Do you often reread books? I personally struggle with that. As I don't know, it's almost like a mortality question. There's so many books to read, so I struggle to reread. If I'm rereading, it's usually just either I didn't understand it the first time, or I feel like I want to enhance my reading based on conversations I've had. Do you often reread? Is that something you do?
I rarely reread, although just last week I finished a book that I had read as a child and I wanted to reread it, The Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Bazalee Frankweiler. And I had certain memories of the book and I wanted to see if I took in the book differently as an adult. And that was a good experience, but I rarely reread. I am like you in the sense that there's so much out there. I can't read all the books that I've already purchased and want to get through, so I rarely reread in
Who
a
do you
while.
look for advice on what to read? Some people go to critics, some people, my wife particularly goes to Goodreads. There's all these kind of like services that are trying to point you in the direction of good books. How do you choose a book?
If I happen upon a review, then that might pique my curiosity. But for me, it's more of a kind of a organic, internal kind of an experience. If you go into a bookstore and something about the book that's there on the shelf or in the pile speaks to you, and then you read the first page. That's why, and same experience in the library too, but that's why I think having independent bookstores is so important, or bookstores in general, because you can go into the store and see what calls you. And that's how I find most of my books. People are always telling me good books to read, and I make note of those too, but I don't necessarily run out and go and get them because again, there's so many good books that I want to spend my time reading. What appeals to me personally first before I take on someone else's recommendation.
Yeah, and sometimes those big bookstores, your Barnes and Nobles, there's the kind of the engines of capitalism working in there, and who got a big foreword to write a book, and now they're trying to
Right.
market that to get that money back.
And I fall prey to that too. I don't want to sound like I'm some kind of pie in the sky intellectual with books. On my nightstand, I have Brooke Shields' memoir that I bought a few months ago. And it's funny because I went back and forth between Target and Barnes and Noble and Target to see where I could get the best price. And if I'd had an independent bookstore here in town that sold that book, would I have gone there? That's a good question. Those big stores can undermark books, and that's why independent bookstores struggle too. So that's why a lot of independent bookstores really have an active campaign to not buy books from Amazon because Amazon undermines the price point, and that's a controversial buy when you talk to people in the book world, is purchasing books from Amazon.
Yeah, those kind of those volume discounts that some of the big box players can give people, it's so hard to make the choice because a lot of us are we have budgets too, and we're trying to figure out how to get the books we want while also, you know, stay within our
Absolutely.
budget, and
So,
it's a complicated thing.
yeah. So, I'm going to be frank. I buy most of my books from independent sources, but once in a while, I will buy from Amazon if I want something quickly, or I'll go to a big box. And if you can save a few bucks, I get that too, because I get that.
What's your favorite William Saroyan play, short story, novel? Do you have a favorite?
Yes, his book, My Name is Aram, is probably my favorite.
That's my favorite too. What do you like about it?
It's deceptively simple. So you think you're reading something. I probably read it the first time while I was a young person. I can't even remember. But you just think you're reading these little stories. And then that is one example of some work that I've gone back to. You read it again later in your life or at a different time, or you pick out one of the stories and you see it a little differently. But I like that book. And also, I could relate to it because the stories were related, located in the San Joaquin Valley, and my Armenian background, I could use that to understand some of the things he was saying, even though it was a generation or two before me.
Yeah.
That's good.
Let's transition to talking about Fresno. What do you think are the biggest differences between a highly literate city and a city where book culture is not a high value? What do you think are the differences for the city itself?
I was looking at some statistics the other day, and it looks like in the San Joaquin Valley, there is about a 77% literacy rate. Those were the numbers I was looking at. Depending on which source you use, that could vary a little bit. That means that one in four people are functionally illiterate. So those are a lot of people that can't read the basic things, let alone a book. And so when you have that discrepancy, you're going to have that many less readers. And I think reading is a way to embellish or strengthen a culture with knowledge that's, I want to say, passive knowledge, but it's not like you're going and sitting in a classroom and someone is feeding you information. If you read, you acquire information, and often it's kind of serendipity. You acquire the information you're ready to learn and you need to assimilate into your own world. So I think that when we have less readers, we have less learning, and learning is empowerment. So you have people that are not empowered as well as they could be. And that means a lot of things in a complicated society. That means if people are not empowered, they can't optimize what they can give to the world. They can't optimize their success in the world. And so it leads to some social challenges. So I think anything that we can do to optimize reading and knowledge acquisition is a very good thing.
If I gave you a magic wand and you could either wave it and get more independent bookstores or wave it and get it more public library branches, which would you choose and why?
Boy, that is a double-edged question.
Yeah.
I would probably choose more libraries because they're accessible to everyone. And so that would be, I think, the right choice as a society. And
As
the
much as we
libraries.
want all those independent bookstores, it's like the first level, tier one issues are just getting access.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of Maslow's hierarchy of need. You
Yeah,
got to
yeah,
take
yeah.
care of the basic stuff before you can optimize and self-actualize. But so I would probably go for the libraries first. Libraries are hugely important. I still have a library card. I still go to the library. When I was a child, my parents took me to the library and let me roam. Sometimes they just drop me off and leave me there. Those were the days that you didn't have parents hovering all the time. And so I just think libraries are essential.
Yeah. How would you, if you were at like a book conference or a writing conference or book fest conference, something like that, and someone asked you to describe the book culture of Fresno, how would you describe it?
I think we have a lot of room for growth. There are a lot of authors here, and when I developed the San Joaquin Valley Book Fest, I suspected there would be pent-up demand for authors to get their work out in the world. I didn't realize how many authors there were. And even this week, 2 weeks out from the Book Fest, as we're recording this, there are authors finding out about our book festival and want to participate in the 11th hour now, which I'm overjoyed that they're enthusiastic about it. And so I think there are people doing things, but as a whole, we're not as integrated as we could be. At the same time, when you look on social media, there are a lot of readings, there are a lot of poetry celebrations. One of the newer book stores, Judging by the Cover Books, which is also our official bookseller for the Sound King Valley Book Fest, they are hosting writers all the time. It's getting people to show up to those kind of events, whether they're at a bookstore, whether they're at Fresno State, wherever it might be. It's getting people to show up. And but there are a lot of writers here in this town. It's just invisible in many ways, I think.
Do you think writers that exist in academia, all the ones at Fresno State, if you will, and then local authors are connected enough? Do they need to be connected, these two worlds?
I don't know a clear answer about that objectively. From what I'm sensing is that there are a lot of things going on separately, but I'm still learning about the book culture, so I'm not an expert. I do feel that with our book festival, I've worked hard to try to bridge some of these discrepancies. And even myself personally, I know certain writers. I didn't know other writers even existed. And so now I'm finding out. And so I'm trying to give a voice to a little bit of everybody so that we can all come together and learn about each other. And then once we know that each other exists, then you don't necessarily need people to make that bridge. But I think for a while, we need to learn about each other. And I think the spirit of the work is the same, whether you're an academic or you're somebody in your backyard, sitting under a tree, writing a poem. What's motivating the art is the same. Some people may have developed it more. Some people may have more innate talent. And talent, you can have lots of talent and not have the luck to be published too, because I think there's some luck involved in being published and the right connections. But art is art in terms of how it speaks to our souls. And I think we're more alike than we're not alike in that realm.
Do, in your experiences meeting writers in Fresno, do they have things in common that you've identified? Is there a certain culture to Fresno writers that you've seen in your work with them?
I think writers in general are working to put their work into the world and they're trying to figure out how to do it. In this day now, and I'm still learning about this myself, there's different ways to get your work published. There's self-publishing, there's traditional publishing, there's hybrid, where the publisher and the writer work together and put their funds together to get the work out there. I think it's getting the work out there that people are challenged to do. And the other thing is, once you get the work out there, you've got to get people to want to read it. So again, that's the whole culture of increasing the amount of readers we have in our society in general. I think that's an important thing. I'm surprised sometimes at how many people, very smart people even, that just are not, they don't read or they read very little. And I think reading is a habit that you have to establish. You can start at any age, but if you establish it in childhood, it's easier. It doesn't seem like it's a big lift when you're older.
Yeah. Let's jump to Bookfest now. Last year, we had Joe on the podcast talking about his involvement and his kind of conceptualization of the event. Can you talk about your involvement, the development, how the idea was hatched, and how your understanding of what you want it to be has changed over time?
I was on a walk in Fresno in December of 2023, and I say this because I remember it very vividly. I was listening to a podcast, and it happened to be a podcast about writing because I'm a writer too. And there was a very inspirational person on that podcast. Her name is Zibby Owens, and she's built this big machine of a publishing and bookstore kind of thing in just in the last few years. So she was very inspirational. As I was listening to that podcast, I thought, I wonder if we could do something in Fresno. or I could help to do something. And I'd had a trickle of this idea in the past and I never grabbed it. But this day I felt it pretty strong, but I knew it would be a bit of a lift to do it. So I let it simmer for a few days to make sure that it was not a flight of fancy. And the idea was still there. Few days later, so I reached out to a few people because I knew that I needed to get the right combination to start this off to gain some legitimacy. Because who am I? I'm a reader, I'm a writer, I'm really a nurse. That's what I've done for over 40 years. What do I know about the book world in Fresno? Anyway, long story short, I reached out to Joseph Rios, who was the poet laureate at the time. I reached out to Lilia Gonzalez Chavez at the Fresno Arts Museum, who was very supportive from the moment I walked into her office. And I also reached out to Mark Arax. And Joseph, Mark, and I were the original founders of the Book Fest. And I started working on it. And Joseph and Mark, I was pleased that they were able to support the idea, and they have some visibility in this town, which helped. And the Fresno Arts Council has been supportive, and they're our fiscal sponsor, and which means that all the money that we raise goes through them and they do all the accounting for it. So we had a great book fest that we planned in about 4 months last year. We had about last May, we had about 400 people in attendance. And then we sat on this over the summer and tried to decide if there would be a second book fest, and we decided we would. And so I got a group of people that were really interested in developing it for 2025. So that formulation shifted a little bit from the first year to the second year, but I've ha have some great people that have been working on this book fest for 6, 8 months now. And when I first visualized the idea, I thought of it as a smallish thing. In some realms, I've told people that, like, you have a little neighborhood craft fair where they sell earrings and candles. I thought maybe we'd get some tables and sell some books. Really, this had some energy behind it, and there was so much pent-up demand that it turned into something bigger. And which I'm pleased about. And so now this year, we're going to have over 40 authors speaking on three different stages. And we have over 125 titles in our pop-up bookstore. So that's from probably around 100 authors. And then there will be some authors selling more than one title. And that just shows that there's interest there. So I'm very excited for this year's program.
Me as well. What did you learn about your attendees last year? Who showed up?
There was a wide variety, which was very pleasing. We have a family-friendly environment, so there were small people there, and there were people that were on the older end of the spectrum. And so all kinds of people came from all kinds of backgrounds, which is very pleasing to me. One of the concerns we had last year, we were close to a bus line, but some people thought we weren't close enough. And so this year we're going to be at Fresno City College. So if people have transportation challenges, they can take the bus to come and attend. So really, and we also do not charge an entry fee, and that's done purposefully because we want to be open and accessible to everyone. So because we don't charge a fee, that's posed a little bit of a challenge in terms of funding the event. But we're working through that, and some people in the community have been very generous in donating towards our effort, and so we're very appreciative of that as well.
What was the author's experience of the event last year? What feedback did you get from them?
I think the authors loved it. There was a good energy, and our setting is intimate enough that after an author reads, people can come up to them and speak to them. We had book signing tables last year. We're going to have the same this year. So if people want to buy a book and go and meet the author, they don't even have to buy a book. They can still meet the author. But we're hoping that we can be supportive of the authors and the readers. If somebody goes and buys one book during the day, we'll be grateful.
What genres or areas of writing do you think were missing from last year that you'd like to see more of in the future?
One thing we didn't do last year, and I'm trying this year, we'll see how it works, is we have a few presentations that are more, I don't want to say academic oriented, but They're panels that are going to talk about things. Like we have a panel that's going to talk about how to get a book published if you're an author. And so they're going to share their experience. We have another panel that they're going to share some of their writings about the Sierra. But they're also going to talk and take questions and answers from the audience. So there's some of that. Some festivals have like writers' conferences. There's places where writers can go and learn. This is a book festival, so it's for writers and readers. The other thing we're doing this year that we didn't have last year, and we're trying this, is we have two sessions where the information is going to sh and art is going to be shared only in Spanish. And so for Spanish people that are Spanish speakers only, there's going to be writers, young persons, writers, and older people doing poetry and nonfiction. And so we're excited about that too. Hopefully we can get the word out and people will come and enjoy that element too.
Okay. I want to ask you a few questions about just doing events in Fresno, because starting something new in Fresno can be a challenge. And thinking about how to organize it, market it, fund it, all that kind of stuff is complicated. Big picture wise, what did you learn about hosting events in Fresno from putting this on last year?
I learned that finding money is hard. I'm glad we have Measure P funds for many of the arts now because it gives a mechanism for some groups to get funded. The San Joaquin Valley Book Fest is not eligible for Measure P funds at this point because we're a fiscal sponsor. The Fresno Arts Council is our fiscal sponsor, and their organization is the facilitator, for lack of a better word, or they help distribute Measure P funds for the city of Fresno. So we don't participate in that because there would be a conflict of interest. So I think my hat's off to all of the nonprofit organizations out there trying to promote art in this area. It's hard because we do have financial challenges in the Central Valley, and even small events or events like ours, it still takes funds to put them on. And we try to be very frugal, and none of our volunteers get paid anything for doing their work. They're doing it out of their goodness of their heart. But some of these organizations, if they have a small staff, those staff have to be paid. And then there's just innate fees with putting on an event. I think that's the challenge and probably the hardest challenge that I've learned. On the flip side, one of the great things is that the people in Fresno are very motivated and helpful, and they support good ideas like this, if I may say so myself, but they're supportive. And so they want to help. And people have donated their time and their energies and their monies. And I'm grateful for that as well. So I think that's what I've learned, that there's some challenges. If you persevere, you can usually get past them.
What do you think was your most effective marketing strategy last year? Was it social media? Was it doing kind of local media outlets? What did you think was the most effective way you got the word out?
I think it's to have some champions that are trying to get people to bring others in. If you have a few people with strong kind of social networks, there was a certain curiosity. I think we had the first event at the Fig Garden Swim and Racquet Club, and many people hadn't been there, and it's a lovely, beautiful setting. It was a lovely, beautiful setting, and I think that pulled some people in. But we're going to have this year's event at the old administration building at Fresno City College, which is very beautiful as well. So I hope that pulls people in. I cannot put my finger yet on a good marketing strategy because, interestingly enough, we appeal to such a wide variety of people that I have some of the older people saying, "Can you give us paper flyers and can we put stuff on bulletin boards? And what can you do there?" And then there's the other end of the spectrum where I'm trying to crank out social media posts. It's like feeding a beast. You have to put stuff out almost daily.
Yeah.
And people like stuff and they engage with it, but I'm not sure that translates into attendance or ticket sales. So I'm still sorting that out. I don't have a magic bullet as to what really works. We're just trying to tap on all kinds of things. Last week, we had a fundraiser with Ampersand Ice Cream. So that kind of mutual synergy really worked well and made people excited. So I think people working together and getting the word out is probably the most helpful thing so far that I've found.
Gotcha. Is it difficult to organize writers? Kind of like
That's a
cats,
good
right?
question. I'll be frank, I worked in healthcare and I still do, but I had administrative roles in healthcare for over 20 years and I worked as a nurse. And in healthcare, time is of the essence. If you're a bedside nurse and you need to get a doctor to so you can talk to him or her about something, that doctor better call back in 10 minutes. And in the writing world and the art world, I don't think they feel as pressed about time. Now that could be a stereotype, so I could be wrong. But so I think grabbing people and getting them to respond, that's a challenge. But then we're all busy, so it could be a challenge across the board in society of getting people on board. So I think that's the most difficult thing is if you reach out to somebody and you don't hear back, that can be a challenge. So you either keep trying or you work around it. And these are all skills. You have to have a certain skill set to do this kind of work and not lose your mind. But at the end of the day, it all comes together and it's worth every bit of effort.
Yeah. Let's talk about this year's event. I would love to hear some of the highlights, features that are going on, things that you're excited about. What can we look forward to at this year's event?
There are many authors that are going to present from a wide range of backgrounds. And I think that's very exciting because if you can go to our website, sjvbookfest.org, you can see the program and you can pick exactly where your interests are and go and see that work or that author. And having said that, there are a few bigger highlights. One of them is the author Pam Munoz Ryan, that wrote the famous book Esperanza Rising about a young girl that grew up in the San Joaquin Valley during the Great Depression. She immigrated from Mexico and it talks about her beginnings. And this was somewhat of a semi-autobiographical story about Pam Munoz Ryan's grandmother, I believe. And she's our big young person's writer that's going to be there this year. We're very excited about that. She's going to be at 10 o'clock in the theater in the old administration building on May 3rd. We are excited that our former and new poet laureate of the city of Fresno, both of them, or I should say poets laureate, they're going to be speaking, Joseph Rios from last year, and then we have our brand new poet laureate Adib Medina speaking, and she is a joy to listen to. So I hope people will come out and see the both of them. And then at noon, we have our keynote speaker, Lee Herrick, who's the California Poet Laureate. He is finishing up his tenure, but he is going to be speaking to us, and he is always a wonderful person to listen to. I've heard him speak many times, and so I think those are the exciting offerings. But we have an author that grew up in Fresno. She lives in New York now. She's a fiction writer named Julia Dahl. She's coming back home to read. We have Tim Z. Hernandez. We have Bryn Saito from Fresno State, along with Vanita Blackburn. So we've got a lot of wonderful people that will be speaking that day.
Fantastic. We always close these podcasts in the same place with book recommendations. What are a few books you'd like to recommend to listeners?
I just mentioned Esperanza Rising, and that's a young adult's book, but the book is 25 years old, and I hadn't ever read it. And I think it's surely in the canon of San Joaquin Valley stories, and I just read it recently. So I think that's a great one for people to read and for their children to read too. And just most recently, I read a novel called Tell Me Everything by Elizabeth Strout. I love novels that are character driven. And that's the genre that I'm driven to. And but there's so many good books. Just let your heart speak to wherever it wants to go and grab one. And then if you read it and you're going, I give you permission to not finish it if you don't like it because there's a million other books out.
Yeah, don't finish a book you don't like.
Yeah,
That's a
that a
good
lot of
rule.
readers struggle with that. It's taken me many years to let myself just go with that if that
Yeah.
happens. But more, you're going to like more of the books than you think you do. So
100%. Can you give us all the specific details for the day? Just time, location, parking, all that kind of stuff.
yes. Okay. So on May 3rd, Fresno City College parking has free parking that day. The doors open to the old administration building at 8:30. Our programming starts at 9 a.m. in, I say, three separate stages, but basically we're going to be in the old administration building theater, and then we have two large classrooms that are nice that will hold a good number of people, and they are stages in a sense because you can see they're kind of auditorium style. And we have programming through the day until our last readings presentation of the day is at 4 p.m. And the way it works is that every hour we start something new and it lasts for 45 minutes. Then you have 15 minutes to go to your next event or go out and buy books, or because we'll have a pop-up bookstore on site and we'll also have author tables. There will be food trucks available on campus that day, so you don't have to run away to have lunch, or you can, and just people make a day of it, or they go to lunch and come for the afternoon sessions. It's just going to be a lovely celebration. And I want it to be a celebration of community as much as a celebration of writers and readers. I'm telling people that even if you're not a reader, I think there will be something of interest for you, even just to sit in one of our rooms and listen to stories. I think you'll find that very appealing. You're not obligated to buy anything. You're just obligated to come and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I loved last year's event so much, and I'm so excited for this year's. And it's a great way to meet people if you're a reader, meeting other readers. I'm sure that there will be many book clubs that emerge from these kinds of events. And to be in the room with some of the amazing writers that live here locally is such a cool opportunity. You go to book events in big cities, and they're wild, and this is so much more intimate and close quarters, and it's really cool in that way, the kind of access you'll have just showing up to this event to so many amazing thinkers and writers in the Valley.
That's a perfect review right there. And I also want to thank you, Jordan, for all that you do for our community and helping us get the word out there as to all the wonderful things that are going on. You do a very big service for us, so thank you for that.
It's very kind. Danielle, this has been a lot of fun, and I can't wait for May 3rd. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.